Yep, go ahead.
Okay, if their agenda's up here, if anybody wants one. And it is 7:04, and we are going to call the meeting to order. Frank Perrin, John Peters, Steve Chamberlain, Cindy Hewitt, myself, Emily Gruber here, Keith Chase and Ona Chase are in the audience, Ellen DeMurrow and Jim Potter here as well. Is there any public comment?
I just wanted to thank Jimmy for grading that road the other day. He did a great job.
Thank you.
That's a good public comment. I'll take that. Review of agenda. Somewhere along the line, the state police item got left off of here, and the state police contract. And so I'd like to put that on after the Vermont 100 endurance race. She contacted me and I said that we would bring it up at this meeting. And also, it's my understanding that, are we ready to set, do you have the figures to set the tax rate? And so we should put the tax rate on there as well. Maybe take off easement for town repeater because I never got hold of Deckard and put tax rate set under that. Are there any other additions or anything anybody else wants to discuss?
I had one thing I asked to be added. If we have time, we'll discuss it briefly, but I'm not really prepared for it, so I'm happy to leave it off till next meeting.
Well, let's hear what it is, and then we'll write it for next meeting.
Okay. It's SLAC, which is an acronym, and I forget what it's for, but it's basically a communication tool, which we use at work, which would be pretty handy for the board.
Okay.
As an alternative or in addition to email, but I'll get some more information. I've been in the hayfield all week, so I haven't quite got to it.
We don't even know the software we currently use.
This one's easy.
Okay, anything else on the agenda? No, okay. I need a motion to make these additions and the one deletion.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Okay, approval of 6:19 minutes. Did anybody have any corrections on those?
I had a question.
Yep.
I think it was at that time that there was a discussion of hiring the HR consultants at a rate of $60 to $100 an hour, and Scott asserted at that meeting that there was money in the budget for that purpose. And I was kind of perplexed by that answer, because to say that implied two things. One, it implied that during the budgeting discussions that took place, that the issue of HR consultants actually came up in order for there to be an allocation of it in the budget. And there is no single line item for that anywhere in the budget. The only place that it could possibly be is in the professional services, which is legal and accounting. And at this point, we're spending legal fees for the purple crayon issues at the rate of roughly $3,000 a month. With a $6,000 budget, that money will be gone between July and August. And the usual fee for Chad Hewitt to help me with the year-end stuff is about half of the accounting budget, which means that in reality, there is no money left in the budget after August for much beyond the ongoing legal bills and Chad Hewitt's annual work. And so I guess I'm wondering if that was a misleading statement, and with all the other people who were at that meeting in the audience, they're thinking that there's money in the budget somewhere and that the select board had a discussion to allow hiring of an HR consultant. And then, so I guess I'm wondering if you what you put in the minutes about that, because it seems that the way it was left at that 6:19 meeting is misleading.
Let me just pull them up.
Yeah, I think you could lump it under the professional fees as you know, that we didn't formally discuss at budgeting time the money for it, but yes, there's, given what we're spending professional fees on, there's not the money there as a whole in that line item for sure, but.
I didn't put anything in the minutes, stop money.
So the comment in the meeting, the minutes to speak is follow up on human resources assistance. After speaking with Jill Murr, Scott has been in contact with her. Suggestions of three people for possible HR assistants who could help with hiring processes, employee evaluation, compensation policies, and benefit packages. They will be invited to attend a board meeting to present their proposals. Scott will make the arrangements. He wanted to have them come at this meeting and wanted a half an hour for each of them. And I said there were too many things on the agenda. And so we will have to have a special meeting for that. Yes, Ona?
I think Ellen is right, because I remember Scott sitting there saying that there was money in the budget for an HR person when we were discussing on if there's money in the budget for an HR person, why isn't there money in the budget for a fourth road crew member? Or so somebody needs to go back and listen to the recording if it is available.
It is.
Do you want to delay the minutes in this, adopting the minutes until the next meeting, and we'll listen to the recording?
Or I mean, unless we're actually going to make a decision to hire somebody, I don't, you know, I mean, we're just investigating at this point, which I don't see an issue with. You know, without Scott here to clarify, I don't know as though it needs to go how we want that to appear in the minutes, but. There is professional fees. There is money in the budget for professional fees. I mean, we can.
I think your point is well taken, however,
absolutely.
Are there any other problems with the minutes? Do I hear a motion to accept the minutes?
Make a motion to accept the minutes.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Yeah, I wasn't here, so.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
No, I'll abstain.
Frank is going to abstain because he wasn't here. Minutes have been approved. Warrants for approval. Those are in Ellen's thing.
We have check warrant 19002. The amount of $45,350.44. Everybody get a chance to see these at one.
Is that
time.
Four?
Yeah.
Check warrant for this is all of the various bills. Power.
Accounts receivable.
Yep. And this is all one. Payroll warrant 19001. Amount of $8,257.69. Oh, sorry.
Okay.
check warrant 18122. This is due to avoid a check to People's Bank.
So that warrant originally included reserve funding, and the place where they had intended to deposit the money refused to take the check without our having a checking account with them. So I voided the check to People's Bank, and I'm just going to leave the money in CDs at Mascona instead. So that's why I've revised the amount of the warrant, because I avoided a check for $148,000, and that means the warrant is significantly less than it was before.
Okay. So it's now $49,623.19.
Say that again.
$49,623.19.
Turn it off?
No.
You sure?
Good. I'm just picking on Steve. It's too quiet in here.
We'll get the janitor right on then.
What janitor?
Who's the janitor?
Volunteering? Point exactly. Oh. He complains volunteers.
Jimmy will let you stand on his shoulders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need a motion to approve those.
I make a motion we approve the warrants. You want your pen back?
And I need a second.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor of approving both the payroll warrant and the accounts payable warrant, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? No. Okay, we're all set. Road foreman's report. That's you.
So we're going to be grouping the next couple of weeks still, grading and running road project. We should be pretty well wrapped up with that. Not this week, but the following week.
That's good. Is it coming along pretty good?
It is. All the culverts are in. Kind of pushed them a little bit there just because I had that jumping jack thing running, so I wanted to get the culverts put in. And they started doing headers on them, and I was like, we'll go back and get the headers and dress the ends of them up, and let's get the culverts in. So we got all the culverts in. The only culvert that I did not do was in the one across that kid's driveway. And the reason being for it is I looked at it and looked at it and looked at it, and even when Scott came down, I talked to him a little bit about it. There's a cutout that's going to be right there. So that's only going to take that little bit of distance to water. So essentially, but we did go down to the next driveway, and that one comes across. It's a Chuck's driveway, I guess, down an angle, and that comes across. We're going to clean his out, but his pretty much won't do much after.
Because you've got the water going across.
Yeah. So, but other than that, and then Scott came and met with me because they had a culvert position where it was going to have to dig down in the brook, and that one that we talked to Rita about. And so once he had clarified they're digging in the brook, he goes, yeah, let me come look at it. So he goes, yeah, no. And so he gave me the okay to move it up the hill. We moved it up the hill another 20-25 feet.
But it didn't make any difference then?
No, not really. No, I mean, because we weren't going to be able to cover it up. It's only going to be about that much coverage, or if that, and you would have to melt the road up substantially. So he
was happy. Oh, yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
You just graded Hewitt Hill Road. Is that something that might qualify? I mean, there was a lot of wash on that. I went up there a week ago. That was pretty bad. Did that qualify for this next grant that we just got?
I don't know. I mean, I've been around it. I mean, that was, let's put it this way, that road was pretty mild. Very mild. I mean, the clay road, I didn't know.
Well, we need to be thinking of where we want to put that grant money as you're running around and... Yes,
I don't know if Jimmy's aware of this or not, because he's saying that if I'm hearing right, you said the road was really mild?
Yeah.
Okay, because several times there has been bulldozers down that road.
No, okay.
Yeah.
You're talking Washington.
Yeah.
Right up the big steep hill. Yeah, I went up there the other day too, and it was, okay.
That back there, that's what I think she was, like the washout.
Yeah.
I'll hear you, but the end of that road was real bad and tells me you got a hole in it with mobiles. Yeah.
Okay.
And then the other thing is Duffy Dana had called and wanted to meet with him because he's going to redo the standpipe and all that, the fire pond, I guess, over there. On Joe Ranger Road, because the standpipe's messed up. And so he was talking to me about wanting to add an additional culvert. And there's already two culverts there. And he wasn't looking to discontinue any culverts, but they were looking to add one and kind of sweep it out and around behind the pond and kind of deter some of that water instead of going in and filling that pond. So while Scott was here, I had Scott go for a ride with me, and he went over and looked at it. And he said, by all means, no, you're good to go. Everything's good here. So, because of that, there's a little brook right there. I say a little brook, and it jogs down. It goes into the 1 2-foot culvert, and then the other one comes down and jogs into an 18-inch culvert. So, essentially, it's about 100, maybe 150 feet, we figured, from that 2-foot culvert up the hill. And the brook comes right down, and the water comes right down and hits the edge of the road right there. So I got the okay for him to do that, and so then I reached back out to Duffy, and I told Duffy that, you know, I need to put some stuff together here, so I got something to go to the select board with, and so he said that the landowner would be responsible for putting the harp back on, buying the culvert, putting the 2-foot culvert in, paying Duffy to do the work, and he would coordinate it with us, or close the road down, and I'd be able to go over there and see him doing it all.
So it's not
going to
cost us anything?
Nothing. Cost nothing, and it's actually to our favor, even Scotland, because the water comes right in and hits the corner of the road, and that is the closest point to the road, is right there. And he wants to put that culvert in right where it hits the road and then folds back.
So that's okay, isn't it? Do we need to vote on that? We don't, do we? I don't think we need to. Yeah, I think that's fine.
Do you know the landowner's name? Fire Pond.
Yeah.
That's good.
Joe Ranger Road.
Is that the one that's above Joe Ranger's land?
Yep.
Dump dump?
Yep, further back.
It's right at the bottom of the steep hill there.
Yep. Yep.
What was the name of those people?
Carson's across the road. But I don't know if that's, I don't know if they own over in that.
Think they do. I think that was the name he actually mentioned, right?
It could have been Carson.
Carson?
They own a bunch of land there, so.
Oh, that's good.
And then truck number two, check engine light come on over. She was gone into limp mode, got it back to the shop. It's gonna have to be towed. Mm. So I called Sables to see if they, I waited out many different options. So called them first to see if they could come up and plug the truck in. And then I asked them what the cost was gonna be. And that's about to be roughly, we're looking at right around $350, just for them to come up and plug it in. By the time they come to their service call, they do that. So then I says, all right, so if I hook it onto the record and leaves the garage and we take the drive shaft down, rip and cage the brakes off, what's it going to cost to go from here down to there, down to their shop tables? And he said, $350. I said, all right, so what would you charge me to go to ATG? And he says, $875. I said, all right. So then I was like, okay, so let's say you guys have the computer work and everything, so you can do all this on these trucks. And he goes, actually, he says, Jim, we do, but if it's an ECM issue or anything, then it's gotta go. So in the meantime, before I talked to him about it, I actually called ATG to see if they could diagnose the truck on the phone, because those trucks you can. So they said, well, let me call headquarters and let me see. So Noreen called headquarters, and what it did is it disconnected. So it's somewhere, she said, internally. That's, so who knows what it could be.
So it's a wiring problem.
It's a wiring problem, but moving forward, that is one thing that, like new trucks that we get or whatever, that's free. I mean, all you do is call them. So they could have looked it up and said, yeah, okay. The headquarters could and said, okay, this is a sensor that's gone on. So we could have at least called the head and got somebody said, this is a sensor gone on, let's get us a part coming, we'll get the truck down there.
So what are you recommending that we do now?
It's got to go and get fixed, but like I said, I would take it a gamble if I take it down there to Sables. But I'm also taking a gamble if I take it further down to ETG, because I take it down there and it ends up not being in ECM, then I spent all that money in that record. But it's happened before, I guess, with this truck. I haven't gone into the history of it.
Yeah, it's been towed. It was towed this winter to Sables, or maybe Freightliner of New Hampshire. Sables had it a couple of times to try and figure things out with it, and they could never figure it out. I mean, if it were me, I'd just have it towed down to ATG and just,
and
it might be nothing,
that.
But at least if it is, then you haven't tried three or four different places.
And that's why, and literally, the other truck is done, so maybe I could be cheap and catch a record ride too, since I'm paying it and bring the other truck back.
Well, I think if you're paying for it, you ought to be able to ride along.
That's what I'm kind of thinking. So I don't know what that, I mean.
Does ATG have they were going to have a computer technician trained up. They were working on that this spring. Do you know if they got that guy or not?
Frank, I don't know.
They were talking that they had two guys going to school, and one of them was going to be stationed out of Westminster, and they'd be traveling, because that's one of the big problems is the trucks now, it's computers more than,
yep.
You know, if something mechanical breaks, you go, okay, we got broken springs, we know what to do. These things are mysteries.
I can give them a shout and see.
Just ask them. I was trying to think which one told me. You can just talk to the salesman, I forget. Craig, is that
yep.
his name?
Yep.
Just ask him. I think he's the one that told me they were training somebody. I just don't know if he's done the school with them set up. But they're supposed to be doing that.
Wow, that's good.
How old is truck number two? I'm sorry.
It's a 13.
So that's the oldest one?
That's the oldest truck, yeah. It's almost 7.
Anything else before we get to the dump truck RFP?
Yeah, and the other thing is just Galaxy Hill Culvert down here. I've looked at it millions and millions of different ways. Then I found out that there's a septic line underneath that culvert too that goes across. The Ellens, I guess, here's septic line that goes across into the other field.
It goes up that high.
I guess so. That's what I was told by Tom Howell.
Okay.
So, and with that being said, I've looked at it, and I guess what, the 3-foot culvert got, is that what the state said for us to do?
Is it 3 or 30?
30. 30. They're the ones that are down at the garage.
And
I was thinking, ask Ellen, I thought the septic was below the culvert, crosses.
It is below the culvert.
Yeah.
How far below the culvert?
What, I think maybe 15 feet?
Because we're going to have to dig down at least another 4 feet.
Yeah, but Ellen knows where it is, because we went and looked at it a year ago when we had the state in and everything. So.
Because that's the concern I have, is we're going to put this big culvert in there. And by doing that, I looked up it, and the culvert comes up like this, and then it's got a wicked sweep to it. And to be able to twist that and straighten that whole business out, you're going to be digging into the town road. If you lay down on your belly, you look right up it.
Yeah, I know, it goes down in the kinks because it goes to that drain.
Yeah, the drain, yeah.
Which
that, in other words, it's not coming into that manhole square, is what you're saying.
It's not
no.
coming into that pipe square, so when you skew that whole business around, you've got to bring that culvert that's going out across her lawn right there, their lawn, tighter to the road. You're going to be digging into the road. Or you're going to dump the culvert out in the corner right there, and the culvert's going to hit right into the town road. And then you're into an issue with, you're going to have to dig that way down around that corner to get daylight. Because you're going to have to get coverage over that culvert. Or you're going to be dealing with a humped up mess all over again.
So you're eliminating the drain, right?
Yeah.
Because that's, we all decide that was futile. So.
So I don't, it's...
We're getting most of the, there's a culvert just at the property line of where the barn is and everything. Just above where I shoot down over to get into that field. So we aren't talking a lot of runoff from the main road. Most of the runoff that's going into that culvert is coming...
from the culvert right at the corner of their driveway.
Correct. And so can we skew that culvert around a little bit?
Because the more you skew it up the hill,
the worse it's going to be.
The tighter into the road you're going to be. And that big tree's there, and it's got that big root and everything, so you can't do anything about it. So, and then that's going to have to, there's going to be a huge hole at the end of it, a humongous hole.
So what's your thought?
That's why I was curious on where the determination was to go from a 2 foot up.
Oh, they did a hydraulic study, and you know I've got the email someplace, but that's because we were questioning that.
Are we held accountable? Do we have to? Are we held to that? So that's the question I had.
That was a recommendation. It wasn't.
Yeah. So you can't run that culvert parallel with blacktop and come out.
I think we can, but what we're going to do is you're going to dig it down so far. I don't want the risk on losing the stuff that's underneath the road, having it drop off, and then we lose the pavement.
The culvert itself's not going to be in the road. You're just going to have to dig into the road to get the hole size correct to get that put in there the way it should be.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is a 2 foot culvert would work better.
I think if we can go back to that the 2 foot culvert, you're going to at least, because you'll be able to get decent coverage over that 2 foot, but you put this next size down in there, you're going to be digging way, way down. You're going to have, it's going to be down, and then you've got Ellen's. You're going to be digging it in that stone walls there.
To get the same amount of coverage, the culvert is going to end up being at least a foot deeper because it's a plastic culvert versus a metal one, so the inside's the same diameter as a metal one, but you've got 3 or 4 inches of extra on either end that you've got to account for as well. So
the only hazard is that all the things that drive a lot of our decision making is if it washes out, FEMA, is that new standard that we got the email.
Right, yeah. If it washes out, they won't pay for it.
Right.
But, and the problem is, if you put it in, it's going to go down so far that now you got to remember you're putting danger into that corner where you're going around it, because you're going to have to dig that way down so it flows out of there.
To get daylight, yeah.
And you're going to, where her septic line is, if it's 15 feet, you're going to go down there 40 feet around that corner to get it.
So you're talking where its stone line is all going to come out.
I mean, has that 2 foot culvert ever been a problem?
Well, this is what...
Yeah, it was during the flood. When everything came off of Galaxy Hill, it ran down across the road and then down on the bank and stuff. But it's a tough place anyway, because bringing the water from Ellen's side across the road and then having the water come down and then have to turn and come back is a terrible spot anyway.
But the reason I went down the road that time, it was plugged and going across the road. The culvert that was... It didn't get in that culvert to go over and then take the right-hand corner.
The culvert by Ellen's driveway was plugged, wasn't it?
Yeah, it could be. There's a lot of water came off that day, I know that. So,
that's something, the reason why is, and literally the guy brought some of it to my attention was Jeremy for the pavement, when I went around and showed him the pavement, and he said, when you let me know when you get this done, maybe we'll be in sooner. So I was planning on trying to get that the next thing done, go down and speak with them. And so I just, I mean, if we got to put it in, I just think it's, there's going to be a wicked hole on the upper end, number one.
Keith?
Would it be an advantage to put a catch basin or even just a manhole in there so you can put a kink in that culvert? Instead of trying to run it straight?
Your problem is the depth, though. That's what you're worried about.
The depth, I mean, you're going to have a...
You've got to go down, because it's a 30-inch culvert, you've got to go down so deep. Yeah. That's the problem.
And I'm afraid if we don't, it's going to be another hump. They're going to deal with it all over again.
Anybody got any thoughts?
What happens if you run it across the little triangle piece that Ellendor owns and have it come out over where the other culvert goes across? Where you said one goes across where the piece of land you own somewhere, doesn't it?
There's a culvert just above where we go down into that piece. And
could you run it right across, ditch right across that little field there?
Well, it doesn't bother me if there. I mean, it's wet anyway. I guess if I were going to sign on to get all the water across there, I would have it go on the lower side of where we dump down over, rather than the upper side.
Right.
And then it and wouldn't that, make that, then
that would be
then that would be kind of the property line, and it could go down in there, and I wouldn't care.
And that would be a straight shot. That's all wet in there anyway, between the two pieces of property.
And that wouldn't bother me. I mean, you could do that, and I wouldn't bitch.
That's crossing Pomfret Road, then?
No, across Ellen DeMuro's. So she owns that little piece of land between the Pomfret Road and Galaxy Hill. Just shoot right across there and dump it out on the
Pomfret Road.
You'd probably have to redo that culvert on Pomfret Road. You can't put that across into that house's driveway.
No. I just...
The barn's driveway.
Just the thought. I just thought of it. I don't know. It's probably what everybody thought, but they ran that culvert from...
You mean to take that water that's going above Ellen's driveway, get that water to go straight across?
Yeah. I mean, they put that 36-foot culvert. No, it was 20. It was 60 feet of culvert they ran from Naylor's house across the road. That's worked pretty good, that 60 feet of culvert that, you know, is above Naylor's, shoots it out. I mean, obviously that's more than 60 feet. It's probably 120 feet.
It is 120 feet. But the only thing I would do is, why don't you call Mike Blakely at District 4. You know, have you met Mike yet? He works with Chris Bump, but Mike's the one that came out. Maybe you should just kick it around with him. I hate to, you know, have them do all that work and then we not.
That's why I want to make sure. I mean, I just want to.
Yeah, because what happens is we had trouble probably 5 or 6 years ago, and Two Rivers gave us a recommendation, gave us grant money and guidance and stuff, and then we didn't end up doing it. And it gets brought up even today, it did a couple of years ago. So. Mike's the one that came and looked at it. He was the engineer. He's the one that ordered. Well, I asked him. He ordered the hydraulic study. So, you know, I'm sure he'd come up and look at it again with you. And then at least you covered your bases. If we change,
what would happen if you took that instead of putting it across Ellen's lawn and across the end of Galaxy Hill Road? What would happen if you angled it across and had it come out below the barn?
It'd be right on top of their septic system.
Yeah, there's a septic system there. That's where Ellen's septic is.
Is that Ellen's? And I didn't know, but then I heard that the tank's out there too. You've been driving all that and loading it every time you put snow into it.
Low ground pressure.
Hi.
Low ground pressure.
Hope it's not an old steel tank.
It's pretty modern, I think.
Yeah, it's concrete. Yeah. It's upside down. It's concrete.
I think you better talk to him. Blakely came out and looked at that with us.
Yep, he sure did.
If you talk to him and give him your concerns about getting it down that deep in the sewer and everything, if he backed off to a 24-inch.
Yeah. At least that way we've covered our bases.
We've gotten the advice, and then we've changed our minds.
That's kind of, I mean, even with Scott down there, that's kind of why I did that, just to make sure that if I moved the culvert down around Roger or anything like that, in towards the road or whatever, he was there, and he okayed it, so it would be
good.
It's always best to make somebody else responsible for it.
Yeah.
If at all possible. What else you got, Jim?
Then, like I said, I met with Jeremy about the paving, Sunapee paving, and he said end of August, 1st of September. But he said if you get that done down there, give him a shout and he might be able to get it done sooner. I asked him how long. He figured about 2 days of paving, and then probably 4 or 5 days, maybe, depends, or 3 or 4 days on shoulder work. I did offer to him if he needed a place to pile the shoulder material, that he could pile it up down there so we weren't waiting for trucks, if that's what worked for him. And he thanked me, but he said he didn't think he'd do that.
I've got his, I've got that original paperwork, and the board will look at it, and we'll just model. I never got that email back from him, and I asked him again, but I think we can modify this to say, we can do this no more than, and then sign it and send it back to him. So we'll be okay with that. What else you got?
That's pretty much it. You got anything for me?
Have you looked at this dump truck proposal?
No. Well, I did a little bit, but yeah.
I got one thing for Jim, too. I've been going over the paperwork from ATG on these trucks, and in those reports, the lack of greasing comes up a lot. You're new, you're just coming into it, I'm sure you'll be on top of it, but that needs to happen. It's important, it's in their job descriptions that they're responsible for doing it. And when you're looking at some of this stuff being on brakes and they're not being greased and serviced the way they should, not good.
I actually had a conversation there the other day, a little while ago, over the trailer, and because it didn't have brakes, and it took me an hour and 2 hours, and all the brakes are working on it now. But I did say that probably, you know, they need to go to some brake classes and stuff, because I do see it coming up on the service bills. So, and I think that would be beneficial to them, too.
Yep.
They'd understand it more. No, you're right. And I have seen a few, not a lot, but there has been a few things. The biggest thing I've gone to them hard on is nothing leaves the garage, nothing goes out of the shop, nothing leaves the yard. You don't just go twist the key. You check the oil in it, check whatever, put an eyeball on it every day. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Good.
So they're going good like that. They're good. Getting a lot better at it. Because the grade, the loader was down quite a fair share of motor oil. So, but then that is, they're coming to service that on Monday. So they'll be servicing the grader and the loader on Monday.
Good.
I'm a little concerned that Jimmy hasn't had a chance to look at this dump truck RFP, and that we're going to approve it. And you sent that to us. That was supposed to be in this agenda package, with a lot of other things, which is another matter that we can discuss at some point tonight. But can you get a hold of that dump truck RFP and print it on that printer?
Right now.
Well, it's so that Jimmy could have
it. Oh, okay. I'm not sure. Has it been sent to me?
John sent it to us.
He should have it twice, potentially. I sent it around four weeks ago. 2 weeks.
John sent it to us at the end of the last meeting.
Right. I can't remember if I forgot. I'll just search it.
It hasn't changed
from the
copy that I gave you. That was the starting point to see if everybody... they needed anything.
Yeah.
tweaking to it before.
The only other thing that I would be questioning, I mean, looking at everything, is disc brakes. The longevity in disc brakes, I mean, and you can get them that way. It might be a little bit more money, but.
That was something you would like to have, would be disc brakes.
Yeah. I think you'd feel a lot better. They stop better, I mean, everything about them.
Yeah.
That is something that, I mean, not, by all means, don't let it hold up, get one.
Well, no, I think that we want to get a truck that's going to work, and I'll be honest, I'm not qualified to buy a big truck, so.
I mean, that's something that can be put in there, you know, that's.
Yeah. And then, like I say, the other thing is just moving forward with them. Just make sure that they do have that onboard system with them. So if one's laying aside the road, we can call and they can call headquarters and say, yeah, this is what's wrong with it. Then at least we know what's wrong with it. So then we can say, okay, we can call this one, right close by. We know that they're capable of doing that, but they might not be capable of doing something different.
So you want to tweak that proposal a little more and then we'll give it a final approval?
Yep.
Next meeting?
Could do that.
Okay.
So do you need a copy, Jim, or have you got?
No, okay. You can see the other one. All right. I'll get it.
All right.
Can you write down those notes on that, what you said, John?
Yep.
And the other thing that I noticed, or should be on there, is outside controls for the plow and wing. So when you're hooking up, there's a hydraulic, they're right out there. So you don't have to.
If they're electric controls, I don't know. Yeah, you can probably still do that. I don't see why not. It'd be waterproof switches. I mean, you can do it now from the box, but you had to take the box off. But yeah, that's awful nice to be able to do it so you can. Guy in the cab can't see the guy on the ground, pull something wrong. And
had to happen.
Pennies compared to movies and fingers and toes.
Yeah, but it gets expensive real quick.
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, yeah, those are the few things I see.
Did any of you guys look at that sand RFP that I sent through SharePoint to you guys?
Yeah, I think I did. That was a little bit ago.
Well, it wasn't too long ago. I also included it in the agenda package, but when Scott redid the agenda, it didn't get in there.
What are we asking for a bit?
I don't know what we want to ask for, and the reason my feeling is, and having talked with you about the difficulties you had with the regular sand last winter, that if we're going to get any regular sand in, we need to get it in the summer so that it's dry.
The difficulties from that was all because it was brought in the middle of the winter, so the entire pile was at, you know, 33 degrees, and you dump it in your truck, and it just turns into a solid block instantly. Once we got back into the pile that had been sitting there, unless it was below, you know, 5 degrees outside, it worked without a problem the majority of the time.
And once you got into the old sand, you were fine.
Yeah, because it was the temperature of the ground. You just can't bring sand in the winter. Not that brown stuff that's wet.
So what I did was I took the sand RFP from a couple of years ago, and I adapted it to this year. And that is presuming that we use all regular sand. Now, that being said, we may not wish to do that. And that's something that we have to decide as a board. I think this last year we used about half and half, right?
When we
voluntarily wise, yeah.
Right.
So then so then the question is, do you want to use half and half again? Do you want to do an all manufactured sand RFP and get a price out of Twin State and or Lebanon Crush Stone? Do you want to have some regular sand on hand? But either way, we've got to get a sand RFP out. And so I only put this out there so that we would talk about it and come to some decision so we could get it in work, so we could get it in early, especially if we're going to use non-manufactured sand. And it seemed like at times you ran out of manufactured sand, and then you started sanding with regular sand. So I'm drawing on your guys' expertise because I wasn't watching the game. And
what's your thought on manufactured sand, Jim?
I know it's expensive,
but it goes a lot further. It's a lot better job. Yeah. We actually use, I don't know if you kept up to date, we actually use some 3/8 crushed stone too on certain.
I'm not a fan of that because I had to rig it all off my lawn. And I look around and it's all over. So, I mean, it is sad because you put that stone in there and where's it go? It goes off the road.
Well, so does the brown sand. I mean, let's face it, and it slimes up the road. So you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. We'll just have them turn the spinner off and go by your house, that's all.
Won't be a lot problem, Keith.
Well, if you just buy a 3/8 stone to put in sand, if you want coarser sand, most places will screen it coarser for you. Instead of buying a 3/8 to add back into it.
Yeah, certainly possibilities. I mean, we just had good luck with it under certain circumstances. Mm-hmm. One of the things we talked about as a group, and it never really came to any consensus for us, that we would get enough experience to say, okay, it's going to be this kind of storm, we're going to use this, and it's going to be that kind of a storm, we're going to use that. We also mixed manufactured sand and brown sand too. So we sort of tried everything, and it's.
I mean, Woodstock's been mixing the brown with the manufactured for years. You go down on their section of Loudland Road, and you come off of Pomfret and get onto theirs, and the majority of the time, the surface is a lot better. And maybe we should just try that. Just have them, you know.
So what I did, and which you may or may not have looked at, what I did was I revamped the one for regular sand. And that said that we used an average of about 6,500 tons. And we expected to purchase a similar amount in this next year. So then the question is, do we want to send out an RFP sand for brown sand? And if so, how do we wish to amend this document so that it reflects what we really are going to do? Are we going to do a half manufactured product, half brown sand? Do we want to have maybe 4,000 tons sitting? Don't forget, we had some leftover sand that you got into this last year from the previous year. I don't know how far back that pile is now. How much is left in there?
I don't
know how much is left in there.
And so, we got into some stuff that had been touched in quite a while.
So I'm hesitant to send out an RFP for 6,500 tons if we really only want and get a price back for that and then say, no, you can only bring us 4,000.
Well, we bought 3,000 last year. Did we buy half of whatever
we did, yes.
So, I mean, we could put out an RFP for that. The other thing that if we want manufactured sand, I don't know if D&G, who's the
D&D
other? D&D
is the brand.
D&D. They told me that they were going to get into making manufactured sand and manufactured wash sand. And so, I don't know whether to have the RFP ask for half and half or have an RFP that for each kind or whatever, but the wash sand may be more competitive now because Pike was kind of our only game, and now if we've got another vendor, if they got set up, he told me they're ready to be set up by this year, but I haven't had any contact with them. So I'd be in favor of buying half the brown and still play with the manufactured because that's got some real potential, I think, and if Jimmy agrees, maybe even have some 3/8 on hand that we either mix or use. I mean, during the ice storms.
Oh, that's hands down, it's good for that.
You know, I mean, it basically studs the road.
Yeah.
I think what it's going to boil down to is you're just going to gain some experience, and our art's still there, and then Justin too, and they can say, hey, we use this year and this year. Yeah. Within a few years, we'll have it down to a science. I've even was lamenting that we couldn't have, like, say, three big bunks where we could have our three different styles of stuff and then pick it for the storm. Because there's lots of times when Quite honestly, and I was being a little facetious, if we put down a manufacturer's sale, we can put it down less, but it doesn't look like there's anything there. And it's because people can't physically see it. So I suggest them, you know, spray dye the snow brown so it looks like there's sand or something.
But, well, I know there's a few times that the heads down where I see the sand truck go down by and I go out there and put my foot off the road and say, what the hell did that do? I mean, there was a few times of that, for sure.
Yeah, well, it's all, you know, last year I view it as being experimental. Yeah. I mean, if you don't try something, you never know. And so, again, you've got two guys that did it last year. And, you know, at some point I would like to, you know, maybe come up with some, it's going to be just sort of experience, but you're going to say, hey, we're going to use manufacturers, and we're going to do mix this time, and we're going to use the 3-phase stuff, because this is coming down the pipe.
I know Barnard there, they mix, I think they mix it a little bit, but they actually, that's what Keith brought up, I mean, is they get theirs, I think, from D&D, and that comes through 3-phase stone right there.
I'd still like to, after, when I went to the snow and ice class last year, there was the guy giving the presentation, their community, Northern Massachusetts, they used half-inch crushed gravel as their sand. And then there was a town from Johnson who uses 3/4-inch crushed gravel for their sand. Probably just using a bigger screen product because everything's still round and you don't get the bite, which is where the crushed stuff comes in. I think if you have the crushed gravel, there's going to be square edge.
You used to dive right into the hardback pile.
Yeah.
Backside of Snow Mountain, so the ice storms spread that 3/4-inch turn here now, put it down on the back, get around.
So do we want to send out a regular sand RFP for 3,000?
Yeah, let's do that. Because I think we still want to hedge our bets. We're still kind of figuring out what.
And then what do you want to, are you going to get, last year you got a aggregate price for various items.
Right, we put out an RFP for all the aggregates. You know,
okay.
Everything. But, and will, but that being said, if we want D&D to participate, I don't know what else they've got, whether they can compete, so maybe it wouldn't hurt if we just copied we could just copy the brown sand one and just substitute manufacturer
okay.
And send out two. That way, you know, D&D can, you know.
Other than D&D, helps. You send it to Twin State and Bike?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not
be very, very
I haven't had a lot to
Twin State.
With manufactured sand, but does that freeze too?
What do you mean by that?
They brought it in throughout the winter, and if
it worked good.
It broke. If you need, some of the times you didn't even need to screen it. If you did, it broke right up when it went through the screen. It never really had a problem.
Because the grains are bigger, so it doesn't hold water like the sand.
Yeah, I was pretty impressed with it, considering it was brought in at the same time, basically, as the brown sand was.
And so for that RFP for the aggregate or the manufactured sand, do you want that delivered as we need it, or do you want it delivered in the summer? Because
the nice part about it, and the reason Pike gave us a pretty good deal, is it kept their trucks
busy
in the wintertime, rather than and then we run into space problems too down there. I mean,
that's just it.
And so, you know, that was the bonus on that was that, you know, they bring us, I don't know, 3 or 4 loads or whatever.
Yeah, we probably had 10 to 15 loads on hand down there until we, you know, started going through it. And there's still some left there.
They just keep coming there.
Yeah, they would kind of just keep coming once the pile got to a certain size, it kind of stopped.
So I'll work on these a little more and hopefully we'll get them ready to go for the next meeting.
Sounds
so
like
we can get
close.
That regular sand in.
It may not be a bad idea to explore the option of 2-year commitments too.
Okay.
That might give us some good pricing if they know that they're going to be.
I know they did a sieve test on D&D sand, and that was the state, and we we actually took ours down and they did ours and everything. And it was really, really good sand. It passed the sand test originally. I can't remember what the analysis ended up being on it, but.
That's sort of thing aren't bringing you all just silt.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
They do have two piles down there.
Okay.
They got the silt pile and they got the good sand.
Okay.
The silt goes to the low bidders.
So we're going to work on that. All right, now we have designation of FEMA representatives for this spring storm. I asked Neil if he would go to the meeting in Mendon for this spring storm, and he agreed that he would. And I would like to, we did have significant damage, right, Brian?
Not like we did the previous storm.
Well, what was the threshold that would qualify for damage, Neil, at that meeting?
I don't know what the minimum is. The maximum for a small project, of course, is $129,000. But that doesn't make any difference either. But I don't know if they...
There was no minimum?
I don't know what the minimum is.
Anyway, so if indeed we're going to apply for some FEMA help on those issues, I would suggest that we hire Neil to do that FEMA stuff for us. And he's familiar with it. He said it wasn't much, and they hadn't changed it much since Irene, and he got the town through Irene. And so I guess I would move that we hire Neil to be our point person on this FEMA stuff. Art seems to think with the pictures that he took and the pictures that you took
and John,
that we've got the documentation. If we go through the materials, which he said he was pretty fastidious about doing that and the hours that you spent on it. And my guess is it won't be like that other storm, but I don't know, we must have gotten $20,000 worth of damage, 30 maybe?
For which one?
That spring storm in April where you lost the road up there to the A-frame and the various other issues that you had.
I'll tell you by experience, we need to get Scott Jensen to come and inspect the culvert at the one we replaced. A-frame and Sugar House, because we ran into that last time. We replaced the culvert on Joe Ranger and they wouldn't pay us for it because A, we didn't have a permit for it, and B, it wasn't big enough. But we put that in as an emergency and they didn't care. So we need to get an after the fact permit from Scott and hopefully Jensen, and hopefully we put a 4-footer in, so you know it's not gonna be any debate.
It's not gonna be undersized.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be undersized.
No. It was a 2-footer and we debated on
it was 2 or 30 inch.
30 inch maybe. And we debated on a 3-footer and then based on my experience.
I think they didn't have a 3, they had the 4, and so you got that one.
But anyway, I think we're pretty confident, but if we're gonna go in and get reimbursed for that, we have to get a permit because we got turned down on that. So that's just a heads up.
Okay. So I would move that we hire Neil to do that FEMA's paperwork for us.
Second that.
Any more discussion? All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. We have the Cloudland Bridge contract, which I just received. Frank, did you look that over?
Yeah, I mean, just in looking at it, it looks like it's got, you know, all the basic stuff. I mean,
So we ought to sign that and send that back to him. I'm a little concerned. It's taken me, I've been after him for 3 weeks to get that contract.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully he's not as slow getting the job done.
Well, there's stuff written
is there
in there.
Yeah, is there a date stuff written certain?
In there. Yeah, he was written dates in there.
So, do we? Are you comfortable in approving that contract to be signed?
Yeah, it looks like it's got all the elements. A lot of just boilerplate. So, I move that we approve the contract and get it going. That's for the Cloudland. I'm sorry.
That's for Cloudland Bridge.
Did it have a date in here? He said it would be done.
Yeah, it said towards the
end. There were several deadlines.
Out of the water on the 1st of October, finished by the 1st of November, which was part of the agreement. I saw they're responsible for all the traffic control and signage and all that stuff.
Yep.
So that, you know, Jimmy doesn't have to run down there every day and make sure that's done. So they're all squared away then.
All those in favor of signing that contract and getting it back to ESC estimating?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None?
All Which set? One's the original? Is this the original or is this one?
This is a copy here, so.
Neil?
Well.
Yes, Neil.
Who's the town contact that works with the contractor for that contract?
I would think it would be Jim, if that's all right with you, because he's going to have to coordinate with you when he closes the thing off.
Right.
I just need to know.
That sounds good. Thank you for reminding us.
Questions are going to start coming as soon as they get the contract back, aren't they?
Well, maybe. We hope so. Highway maintenance issues, repairs to the town garage roof, soffit. I have not gotten in contact with anybody, but I will.
I know you mentioned to me about calling somebody about the roof, and I didn't even know that.
Well, I'll call somebody about the roof, and I'll get somebody to give us an estimate about the soffit and that stuff that needs to be replaced, and I'll have them get in touch with you as to when to come down there and take a look at it, so that you're there. So I failed on that one. And crack sealing, this also was supposed to be in the thing that didn't get there. I got a estimate, a quote back from Nikon. And let me see if I can find that. There it is. Based on a not to exceed amount of $25,000, which is what we put in the budget, this item includes traffic control, cleaning with a heat torch and sealing cracks using a wand, and slight overband, excludes sweeping, excludes routing, based on 8-hour days of crack sealing, $43.50 per day. And as I recall, I also sent it to your other crack sealing, and he did not reply. He was going to gave you a quote on gallons per day, didn't he?
Yeah.
Do you recall what that was? Do you have somewhere?
I'm just looking for it now.
Oh, that's great.
The crack seal. Yeah.
Okay.
The problem is he didn't give me any prices. He just said that basically they use 500 gallons a day. and then anything over that they charge us, but they didn't give us the rate per gallon or anything.
Send that to me, and I will try and get hold of him as well and see if I can get some kind of clarification.
Okay.
And then we can make up our minds at the next meeting. This contract also had a signature page for an arbitration, acknowledgement of arbitration. So we have to sign that as well. We understand that this contract contains an agreement to arbitrate. After signing this document, we understand that we will not be able to bring a lawsuit concerning any dispute that may arise, which is covered by the arbitration agreement. You need to sign that as well.
Okay.
So I'll sign and send them all back to you. There you go. Okay, so we're going to go by, we'll do the crack seal in the next meeting. Hiring a fourth crew member. Jimmy, we put this on because you talked about this previously. What's your thoughts?
I strongly suggest it. But
fourth person you're around?
Yep. But if it's not a budget, then I understand that.
You would suggest, if we can't do anything about it this year, that you strongly would suggest it for the budget next year?
Yeah.
I mean, we can do something about it this year if we want to. I mean, it's go back to the voters.
We can always go back and ask for more money. We don't have enough money in the budget. But that being said, we can go back and ask for more money. See, did you want to say something?
I see the need for it. I mean, I've...
The new standards was new to me, and so now that I've been here a little bit, they're adding work, a lot of work.
You mean with all this rock and ditches and all of that?
You're going to have to go around and clean all that back out, sift all through that, and get filled up. Taking on an awful lot. Roadside mowing's nothing getting done. Get this project there. And from there, we're going to do that project. Then from there, Caper Street. We're going to try to do something on Howell Hill.
I'm wondering whether or not, what's the possibility of hiring somebody to do roadside mowing, finding a qualified person to do that kind of stuff? You know, that would take the pressure off you guys, that's all.
Running the town roadside mower?
Yeah, hire. I mean, we just got to find the right person and doesn't go smash it all up. It's got some experience, and I don't know if that's possible. But that right now, I see the pressures. You know, there's pressure on this summer to get all the stuff done. You know, what's got to get done. And it isn't going to all get done. You know, nothing against you. I mean, it just isn't. As far as the fourth person, I'm thinking it'd be nice to just discuss it. We're going to have to come up with another, say, I don't know, $70,000 or something, if you get a hire, and that's not including overtime. And perhaps it'd be better to include it in the budget this year if we think strongly about it, and then let it become a voter issue in town meeting. You know, when people can, you know, because there's been a lot of complaint about things not getting done, but the town will put the money where the mouth is and approve, you know, a fourth person. Because
if you were to man a fourth person right now, you would have to come. Technically, it would be wise to come to the town for those additional funds.
You would also get an opinion from the town. You should be voting on one thing, whether we should be expending the money to hire a fourth person.
So that you would get that kind of...
whether they supported it or not.
You would get that kind of input. Now, we could hire somebody to do the mowing part-time, or get someone maybe to do that, and that would take a little bit of the pressure off. But that isn't going to solve the long-term problem that we have, which is we have too much to do and not enough people to do it.
There used to be four.
There used to be four, you're right.
And then we went back to three full-time, and then a part-time pretty much year-round. They come in to help out, they did the mowing, they did whatever needed to be done.
Yeah, sometimes that was two people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know what the possibilities are. Just, you know, I thought we'd kind of laid the rest and we were going to wait till budget season to talk about it again. But, you know, I'm not hard and fast on it. I know that I'd suggested, like, Ronnie Wegler is just looking for part-time work. And, you know, that would be a person that we could approach. He can run anything.
I know Vern had mentioned it, didn't you? Vern Clifford, a while ago.
Yes.
So, I mean,
and he's a great equipment operator.
So I don't know. I mean,
well, didn't you say Kevin would see him? And he ran that tractor and did all our roadside mowing, and he would come back and do it. He'd volunteer.
He would do it on Fridays and Saturdays and Sundays if we want him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, at least for now, taking the pressure off. But I'm not against that.
The only thing I'm against is Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Because now you're asking somebody else to be around too. Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Whoever it is needs to come in and mow roadsides when we're all working. So if something happens, something goes wrong, we're able to be there to respond to it. Because I've been down that road. Get the glass gets broke, I have glass all over the road, get a flat tire, get a hydro drop. Someone's going to be there readily available to go and help out and do what they're going to do. If somebody's mad because they mowed their lilac, so what do you mean?
Yeah. Well, that still doesn't negate finding, you know, someone to do that.
I think that, I mean, finding somebody to come in and do it, well, on our business hours, I think it's got to do it, you know?
So do we want to do that? And if so, do we want to give that authority to Jimmy to hire somebody part-time for roadside mowing? Do we want to do that ourselves? How do we want to handle that? And let's at least make a decision on roadside mowing. That would take some of the pressure off. Cause
yeah.
So what's anybody's pleasure?
Yeah, I mean, we need somebody else, and if that starts as part-time at this point, I mean, we can start there and see if we can find someone. I mean, I think it should be the end decision should be a select board decision, but if Jimmy has recommendations or wants to, you know, head it up and do that, I think that's fine.
Do you want to advertise the position, or do you want to just seek out local townspeople?
I try to keep it local if you can.
Yeah, because like I said, I mean,
I think it should be advertised, but it's as long as your description is proper, you can discriminate as far as where somebody lives, as long as it's in your description. If it's not in your description, then you can't discriminate against it. But if it's in your description that says you must live within 15 miles of the town garage, then you can do that. If you don't put it in there, they can live in Burlington, and as long as they show up to work on time, then you have to take them. So.
But yeah, we had Alan Howard did it, probably the pickup and stuff, and didn't roadside anymore. Denny Barber came in a couple of years in a row. Randy Moore roadside anymore, did all the roadside anymore.
Kevin started that way.
Kevin started, Andy Perry started that way.
But I think it's going to be for roadside mowing. We need to get it something simple out now and get this taken care of and not take 6 weeks to get it done.
We can put something on the town website and indicate we're looking for a part-time position for roadside mowing and see what kind of bites we get. Wouldn't cost any money. It's not going to go very far.
And in the meantime, I think Jim's got some ideas.
Give me some ideas.
Because ultimately it's going to be somebody Jim, is comfortable with running that tractor.
Well, yeah, we really don't want to beat up that tractor too bad just yet, I wouldn't think.
It's got problems enough on it on its own. The motor loosens up on it. So it's a little bit of a maintenance nightmare, though. That's the way it goes. That's the nature of the beast.
So I'll put something on the listserv, or have Becky put something on the main website, and part-time person to Mo and Jimmy, and we'll figure it out at this next meeting.
Mm-hmm.
See if
it, sounds good.
Get a feel for who might be interested.
Yeah, but I do know, like, that last meeting that I didn't, because Vern had approached me, I seen down the street, and they said that he was getting ready to retire from my son or whatever. He said, maybe do a little roadside mowing for you or something.
Mm-hmm.
Who was that?
Vern.
Vern. Yeah, they should just fill out either the current job application that we have or a modified version of it. Obviously, they don't need to have, if it's, we hire another person full-time, I think they need to have all the qualifications. But if it's part-time for the mower, we probably don't need them to have a CDL as long as they...
Well, I do think it's important. Operate. I think Jim has a good point that, you know, you've got to get them in here during the week when the rest of the road crew is there. And not only for getting them out of the bind, but also that's a safety issue. And then you know at the end of the day that if he doesn't show up, it's time to look over the bank somewhere. Okay, I don't think we need a motion then on this one, do we?
Keith?
Yes, sir.
On the subject of roadside mowing, I'd like to thank John Moore for the roadside mowing he did. And is there a chance maybe the select board would see fit maybe reimburse him a little for some fuel and some blades?
I think we might do that.
Oh.
But I can't. I have to recuse myself because I'm related, so I'm going to shut up.
That's a very nice gesture, Chief, but I was happy that it took about 10 hours, and I was happy to volunteer that. But maybe put the money toward the part-time guy that you get on board.
Yeah, but we also see where you clipped a few stumps. And
what?
We know what that does on mowers, John.
Well,
deep subject and dry sometimes.
I agree, Keith. Thank you very, very much.
Did you get any complaints of any bushes or anything?
Oh, a couple dog bites, but that's about it. Nothing I had to call 911 on.
What was that one bush down on the down past Sugar House Road on the left? Is that house there?
I didn't get one.
Well, no, but they're just telling you they had a big bush on the left hand side. And they had a little bitty one on the right. I don't know if the seed just happened to get over there and start germinating and they planted it, but it was clipped before I saw it. And so
oh, that pink rose bush, John? I've been going to stop for years and dig that thing up. It's been going more times than you've done it.
So when I came back on the other side, I didn't take that one.
That was not right away. You're right.
A little one gets mown off every year.
Yeah, every year, John. I've been for years going to go dig that thing up and save it, but you guys mow it off before I get a chance. So.
I enjoyed it and I was happy to do it.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, thanks, John.
It was a start.
Any other road matters come before us tonight? So
did we skip the soffit, or was I sleeping?
No, you weren't sleeping. I said that I had failed to get somebody down there to look at it and to look at the roof as well, and I was totally
appalled. Do we want to continue with our quest to get the clapboards and siding and all that stuff? I mean, we talked about that.
We need to get the building painted, and I think we've got to get it ready this year to paint it next year probably. And when we get the guy down there, I was going to call John Symes to begin with. And
he gave us an estimate last year for the exterior.
But Jimmy says there's some soffit work to be done now, too. And then we need to get somebody in there to put on a new roof panel. And
okay.
Then we'll get it painted next year, get it squared away so we can.
Mm-hmm.
That was my plan, or my thought, seeing that it didn't happen last year. Okay.
Does anybody know where the Scott wanted to be called in the box?
Do you have any idea where the
conference machine?
Oh, the conference call thing. I think Bill Emmons took.
Well, we won't call him.
It's not in there.
No.
Oh, are they,
Well, why don't you go in and call him on the town phone and tell him that we aren't going to be able to do anything because the box is gone.
Anybody have his number?
Good.
It's Yes, I think we're all
Thank
set.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Have a good evening.
You too, Jim.
It was on an email. Okay, they had another, the reason this remediation of town office water supply is on here is that Ellen had another issue on Monday and it didn't work and she got Ottauquechee plumbing up and I don't know what they did over there, but you had talked about getting the tank and the switch and everything in the clerk's building. And because you're more familiar with what's over there, because I didn't go down and look, I didn't hear about this until after Ottauquechee had come and gone. Mm-hmm. Is there any way we can bring the pump and the switch, or the pressure tank and the switch back to here? Or, in other words, here's my thought. Okay, we have this generator out here. We have one building of three town buildings on the generator. And it seems to me that if we've got a generator, we should be at least able to get that building on it as well. And with some creative electrical work, we ought to be able to get the town hall on it as well. They're all coming off the same transformer. So, but you had problems with that switch this spring, and it's failed yet again.
Was it the switch?
Did they tell you
what was wrong?
They had a bunch of parts they pulled out of there that were all rusted out, and I don't know exactly what was wrong with it.
Okay. I replaced the switch whenever we had the last.
That was about town meeting time. A little before.
It was after we had that emergency, and we had to house people here. I forget when it was. But anyway, it doesn't matter. The problem is all that electric and the pressure tank and everything and the switches are in a sump in a well. And it's wet in there all the time. And so I don't think it's a big deal to move the pressure tank up and put it, there's room in the bathroom, it's only this big, and set that up in there. The biggest thing is just the problem was is that, oh, I know, during the emergency we couldn't get the water because the generator's here. So I don't know what the answer is, whether we put the well pump, you know, run the wire back and put the well pump here, or put the generator over there so that the two buildings are lit. I mean, it's
well,
six
the question that I had was that if you were going to do something with the generator and move the pump and everything, and you were going to have to dig a ditch to put stuff underground to get there, then indeed you might do all that at once. And is that something that we should investigate, which would require bringing in the generator person and probably the plumber? I don't want to make it too many moving parts, but I think we've got a water issue that you thought needed to be addressed,
definitely.
But it failed before.
Yep.
And so
it's going to be a recurring nightmare.
So we need to fix that at the very least, but if we're going to change where the tank is, it means you're going to have to get somebody to dig in and get through the brick building wall, or you're going to have to bring it back to here or whatever, the wiring at least. Technically, you've got a pipe to there from, you've got a water pipe from here to there, technically. If you had a wire to come from here, you could run it all from this area. Then the water would be on the generator.
Yeah. I mean, there's several ways to skin the cat. The other thing is we could run the pump wire back here, and put the pump and the pressure tank and everything here. Well, I don't think we really got, you know, the space that would be suitable. I don't know. We'd end up taking up some space somewhere. Or at least over there, it's a little less invasive. So either way, we've got to dig a line. We have to dig something between the two buildings, no matter what.
Well, and so my feeling is, if you're going to dig something, maybe you want to only dig once and get the whole job.
Well, you can at least put the conduit in, and you can, if you don't have to do the whole thing, but if you've got the conduit between the two, then you can do it whenever you want. That stuff's cheap.
I mean, we can do it in steps, because one is just getting the pressure switch and the pressure tank up out of the sump and in where it's dry, which would be a start, and they'll have to obviously tie into the line that comes back this way. Then to take the next step for electrical, we'll have to dig between the two buildings. So we could do it.
So do you want me to get a price from some plumbers to get that tank into the brick building?
Yeah, that makes, I mean, that's...
Or even their recommendation as to where they feel the best place for all that stuff is.
We just have to decide whether we want to, we could, I don't think it's too far to put the tank in here, in this building. We'd end up probably digging a new line and put the electric in with it too. So, I mean, it's really whether or not we want to fire up the brick building during down times. It's certainly not critical, other than the fact the water pumps on it.
Right.
So.
Well, that'd be a question for the generator guy to make sure that generator is big enough to run the two buildings, because I know that comes into play. Depending on how much load is going to be on them in each place and so forth.
Keith?
Is that a shallow well or a deep well?
As far as I know, it's a deep well.
It was
a drilled well. In fact, we asked Hazel, because we do pull up sand, and we asked Hazel if she had any record on how deep it was. So actually, one of the things would be, perhaps in all this stuff, is to have that pump pulled, or at least have the well sounded, because we are pulling sand, and we don't know whether it's just, it needs to be picked up 4 or 5 feet, or 10 feet, or whatever, because we don't know how deep it is.
And so you could move all your controls and everything up here. You'd have to get a wire from here back down.
That's just the point, yeah.
So
that generator's got, they'll tell you it's not big enough to run two buildings.
They'll tell you it's not?
Even if you tell them, well, we won't turn everything on.
Right.
No, they have to size it to carry everything.
The multiple.
Everything did came on.
Okay.
Yeah. So that would be an advantage of putting the pump on this building, so you can control it and you don't have somebody going on and turning, you know, everything on in the brick building. Not that there's that much, but. So I don't know, is that 20 kW? Have you looked at it, Keith? Do you know?
I haven't. It's not any bigger than 20. Yeah.
But technically, I mean, there's nothing on over there.
Hot water heater, maybe.
Okay, so I will try and get some information regarding that. Okay, there's a Vermont 100 endurance race, and they gave me a certificate of insurance. I brought this up a while ago. That race is due to happen. The date was somewhere here. Anyway, we asked for them to give us their plan for alleviating the traffic congestion by Edna Lucis. And they say they still haven't given us a plan. They say they're working on it. And they're going to do about what they did last year. And but this race is 7:20 to 7:22. So I need to either send them an email back that says their race is approved, and assume that they're going to get traffic control at Edna Lucis under control, or I can write another email and say, we need to know exactly what your plan is. But then that's going to make us have to give an approval at the next meeting, which is cutting it real close for them.
I make a motion.
I'll second that. Any discussion? You got any thoughts?
No, I was thinking about adding, just maybe have, you know, the stipulation that, you know, it
just have them put up some road signs on either side back a quarter mile that say caution event ahead or something, you know.
So road signs, caution event ahead.
Something that's, you know, orange or color, at least 2x2 or 3x3.
Well, these are the problem that is causing the problem isn't the riders and it isn't the runners. It's the people that are tracking them with the horse trailers and the, all that. And that's the problem. And they all congregate down at by Edna Luce's because they've got to stop down there.
Right.
And then they wander around the road because they think that's all part of the event. That's the big problem.
Well, that's the biggest problem. And Kevin didn't make any complaints about it last year, did he? So let's assume that it'll be good to go, but we'll ask him to put road signs up. Okay, that takes care of that. We need to set the tax rate. Let's do that while Ellen is here. I assume Ellen has...
It's right here. I think. Where is this? Last year. This is the current year here, Ellen.
I'm sorry. Oh, your taxes.
You have the current rate.
So if it's the same thing as this, is the very last column is what the new rates would be. The state gave us education rates of 1.7196 for residents.
Yep.
1.6372 for non-residents.
Yep.
Doing the calculations to raise what we voted on at town meeting is 0.3616 for the town rate and 0.0004 for the local union.
The local what?
What was the figure for the local agreement?
0.0004. Do you want me to make some more copies of this?
It's right here. Maybe I still got it. I mean, there's nothing you can do on
yes,
the rates.
So you guys are to set the municipal tax rate and the local agreement. Don't worry about the education. That's
right,
the
that
extra information
state.
That you have. So it's 0.3616 and 0.004. That's the issue that
that's
you
the only
guys
thing. Yeah. And I assume that that tax rate in, did not consider that we might end up with any agreement with artistry.
No, there's nothing to do with artistry other than the fact that
there won't
we
be
gave
that money
tax
there.
Exemption on that.
Okay.
There has nothing to do with that.
Okay.
Right, Ellen? Right.
So I move that we set a tax rate, town tax rate of 0.3616. And a local agreement tax of 0.0003004 to fund the town in the coming fiscal year.
Second.
Don't fight. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? No. Good. We got that taken care of. We have a liquor permit, a catering permit for artistry. For July 26th from 5 to 9 p.m. from Silo Distillery. And we have to go make to, I need a motion to approve this.
Make a motion we approve the catering permit for Silo Distillery at Artistry for 7/26.
I'll second that. All those in favor of that?
Aye.
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 Okay.
Did you skip over the state police?
Yes, I did, because I thought I'd cross something else out, and I did. We have a state police contract. It's a good thing somebody's on. I was out in the sun too long. We have a state police contract that was sent to me the other day, and I told, wrote back to her that we would indeed be having a meeting tonight, and I would let her know to do the same number of hours that they have done in the past. Is going to be $23,615.28. And I don't know whether, I did not look to see what we had put in the budget for next year. We can do this contract as we want to. We can cut back on hours a little bit if we think that we are that's too much money. We can do whatever we want. But we ought to let them know one way or another. Yes?
I have a question about that, the contract now. Can you request that the state police be on patrol between a certain time and a certain time? Or do they just do it by, you know, you tell them how many hours? And in other words, can you say, okay, the damn horse runner event's going on, can you be down on Stage Road between and that would eliminate some of your problems with horse trailers and stuff cracking in the road?
We have not done that. We have not done that in the past. I don't know whether what they're doing is they give us this contract. They have troopers that want to get in overtime,
right?
And so they let them do these kinds of duty, and
right.
we don't, as a general rule, have any idea when they will show up. And it's kind of nice that way, because when the sheriff showed up on the same day every week.
Exactly, but you know, I just wondered if you could specify or just let them know, hey, we've got this big event going on.
But I do know that
a problem in the past.
If they're in town, they do respond to other things, because there was an issue with the security system at my mother's house, and the state cop drove in, I know you're not registered, but I was in the area, so I figured I'd come and see. So they do respond to other things.
Yeah.
That's a question I can ask.
Yeah, I didn't know, because, you know, you could always, like I said, this big band, it seems to be a problem down there. Have a state police patrol.
They're going to have a sheriff. They
should
have a sheriff.
They are supposed to be
getting
a sheriff.
They have a sheriff there. The problem is the one lonely guy gets overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to specify in this approval? Not that we're on state police, but I can also specify that they have two sheriffs there, so that the one poor guy doesn't get overwhelmed. Do we want to do that? She has not gotten back to me with the.
Or why can't they move their stop-off spot down to Suicide 6 parking lot where the trailers and stuff can get off the road?
They do certain distances.
Well,
is what they.
Aren't they coming over the hill from Route 12 and ending up at Edna's?
Well, they.
Well,
I'm not sure which direction they.
Over the hill from us.
Yeah, I'm not sure which direction they come from,
yeah.
But I know they come up, they cross Wild Apple Road, and they go up onto the Jones's property, and then they come down across Shaw's property, and they end up down at Edna's, and I'm not sure which direction they're coming from.
But they're not coming down to Suicide 6, I do not believe.
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
I don't think so.
Yeah. I didn't know which way they went, but I know the horses go up over Hill Road and up right up over, and when they go from there, I don't know.
Yeah, because they come down Hidden Ridge and then they go up Webster Hill. They go down and go up through Town Farm Road by Bernard's, and they have a checkpoint at that four-way intersection out there on that Class 4.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
I can.
Just a thought.
And back to your police contract, we budgeted $22,000.
So do we want, I can also write her back and say, yes, we'll do a contract with you, but we have in the budget $22,000, so give us $22,000 worth of service.
Sounds reasonable.
Okay. I'd probably need a motion for that.
Move that we enter into contract with state police for a grand total of not to exceed $22,000.
Okay.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Thank you for reminding me. We did the silent distillery. I sent to you guys, I believe, Caper Street dog ordinance complaint. And I don't know how you want to handle that. When we had the problem up on Skyline, I wrote a letter to the owner or the person where all the dogs were hanging out, and that seemed to take care of it. I'd be more than happy to write a letter saying there's been a complaint and there is a leash law.
There weren't any injuries with this, was there?
No. Okay. But I did, when I mentioned it, actually, I don't know how it happened to come up, but your wife was at the greenhouse, and I said something about the dog, and, oh, I said, she said she walked up through there. I said, oh, do you have problems with the dog? And she said the dog was sort of aggressive, and she never looked at it, and she got by it, but it wasn't a pleasant experience. And so I think a letter would be in order. Let's see what the owner has to say about it.
Yeah, definitely some kind of a written.
That we've had a complaint and...
The dog is menacing.
And I did ask the individual that wrote the letter. I sent that to you guys.
Yes. Yeah.
I did ask him to have other people say something if that was the case. And no one else has offered any comment. Yes.
Is this the same dog that they've been having a problem with, or a different dog?
Different. No, this is a different
dog. Different, okay.
But there's been more than one person that's had a complaint about it. I don't know if more than one person's made a formal complaint, but there's several people that have had issues with it.
Oh, is that right?
Isn't that what I got out of that email?
That's what he said, that Right. Nobody else came.
No, that's what I'm saying. There hasn't been any more people that have formally complained to us, but there has been other people that have had.
There's more than just this individual on the road that is having difficulty.
Right. Well, I just wondered if it was the same dog that we had problems with.
It's not the same one.
Just a different dog.
Last year, that was further up the road.
Yeah.
I will write a letter. Okay. Select Board Clerk election. Scott put this on.
He's not here, so should we wait?
That's fine with me. I do have a complaint, however, and that is that all of this stuff, that all of these documents, I had Cindy set up to put in the agenda packet, because we've been accused on multiple occasions of not being forthcoming and transparent, and that no one in the public knows what we're doing. And then Scott redid the agenda and kicked all that stuff off. And that is annoying. And we hired a clerk, we hired a select board assistant. That's her job. That's not Scott's job. And all of this paperwork, you should have been able, as should the town people, to look at ahead of time. It's not fair to expect that you're going to make a decision on paperwork that you've never seen. And to be quite honest, I'm annoyed. And I don't think Scott has any business messing around with the agenda. His comments and his items to be put on the agenda get put on the agenda, whether you disagree with him or not. That being said, he asked for an hour and a half to deal with these HR people, and I said we had too much business to attend to that was time sensitive and important, and that we could not devote an hour and a half to HR people and we would schedule a special meeting, which I figured we could schedule tonight when we were all here to know what vacation schedules we had and whatever. And we need to straighten this mess out.
We also need to discuss and whether that's wrapped up in this or we make it on another agenda in the future, but to figure out what form our website, the editing side of the website is going to be in, because it can be in code and it can be in plain text. And it's been changed when I said I would do the clerk duties but wasn't elected. Becky helped me set it up so that it was not in code. And then it all got changed back into code. And so I think the board needs to adopt a formal policy as to how that editing is going to be done. Whether everybody likes it or not, it's going to be done this way. And that it doesn't get changed back and forth. Because it is annoying to get on there and go, I'm going to post this and go, well, this isn't the way I left it. And so I think we as a board need to make that decision because it's our decision to make.
Well,
all the entire website that Becky is in charge of, which is just about all of it as far as I know, except for the select board area, is all in plain text. What you write is what you get when you post it to the website. Our side is in code, and it was, I think, when Michael was doing it, he knew code, and he was the only one doing it, and that's fine. I muddled through it enough when I've done it to get the stuff posted so it shows up, but I remember to post the correct file and not link it to the wrong one. But the plain text version is easy. And to me, that's what we should adopt to formally have going forward, because it's something that anybody can do with very minimal experience. If you can write a Word document, you can post to the web. So that would be my suggestion.
I had this discussion with Bob Merrill.
That, you know, we're not computer techs here. We're not really professional websites.
You don't need to.
Well, I just find it frustrating that I spent the time to get all this stuff to you guys and to have it on the agenda that people could see, and then none of it was there. And that annoys me. I spent an hour messing around getting those things sent to Cindy so she could include them. And I don't know how much time she spent fooling around with them to get them there. And then the agenda gets changed, things get left off of it, and just a minute. And the minutes I guess were the same, or maybe they were they?
Sort of.
And this is, it's just frustrating. It's got to stop. And the board needs to decide what we're gonna do with it. And I get frustrated, discouraged, and I'm not gonna put the effort into it to try and give a full agenda with all of the particulars that should be there.
I mean, the agenda and the minutes shouldn't be changed by anybody than the person that's responsible for making them. If somebody has a complaint form, they want to address it with the person that's responsible for the minutes, and that person decides that they should change the agenda, so be it. Otherwise, it should be something that's brought up to the board. End of story.
You had a question.
Well, thank you, John, because that was right along the lines of my question. Because now, like at my work, we all have these little credit cards. That's my ID. I swipe that computer. I have to punch a few buttons. But that's all I can do on that computer. I can punch in and I can punch out. If I have anything else that needs to be done, the manager has to come with their card and do it for me. Now, and Keith and I own a business, and I've been into these situations with different things of editing. There should only be two people that can edit that, whatever it is. It should be the chairman of the board and the assistant to the board. And that's it. You know, ultimately, the agenda and whatever comes down to the chairman of the board has the last say of, yes, this is going on the agenda, no, it's not. And well, this isn't how this board has been being run.
No, I do have the last say. I do feel, I personally do have the last say. That being said, I believe that every board member should have the opportunity to come along with any request that they feel is valid. I felt in this particular instance, it's 9:00 already, and we have gotten through most of the business items, that if we didn't start that till 8:30, and we had this paving stuff and all this other stuff to get through that was time sensitive, I didn't want to be here till 11:00. That's simple. And so, and to expect.
Right, but because you've already, you know, like you said, you have the ultimate yes or no.
And so I said, yes, we'll do this.
But somebody went in and altered it after you
had
it done. That's what I'm saying.
And part of what is happening, I think part of what is happening is when Scott goes in and changes all these agendas, he just doesn't get them all in there because he's in a tear. Yeah. And so he just forgets things, and that's fine, and we can amend it. But it would be nice, it would have been nice if all the information was put on the website like Michael used to try and do. And he really did try to do that. And anyway, so did you have your hand up, John?
No. Should we or can we simplify it even further by just having this stuff go, you get prepared and it goes to Becky and she puts it on the period and just have one person that's in charge of the whole thing? Or Sydney, just one person and that's it. Once it gets the approval, that person is the one that posts it to the website, and then nobody else is in there changing stuff, period. Or deleting it, or nothing. No changes can happen.
I mean, I think that's good, and I mean, I don't have a problem with it. The problem comes in if Becky's going to do it, she's going to do it Monday, Wednesday, Friday between 8 and 2.
Yeah.
And so if we need to get something on the website, because I don't have it to her on time, but somebody's, you know.
She's around.
Her responsibility ends at every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2 or 2:30. She's not going to, I mean, this is her job. We have a little higher responsibility that we're kind of chained to this 24/7.
Well, the other thing.
Well, I get that, but it's
the
just,
other thing we can ask Bob Merrill to do is he can manufacture that website so that it isn't in HTML. The reason he put it in HTML to begin with is what he told you, Ellen, was, or maybe Becky, that way you could plug that recorder into the system and it would automatically download and go into the server.
Yeah, but I don't think it automatically posts to the website.
It doesn't.
I don't think so.
It's only because of that recorder that we use all that crap?
Well, this is what was explained to me from Becky. And as you all know, I'm computer illiterate, so you're talking to somebody that hasn't got a clue.
I would if Bob can either take what's on there and change it back to plain text or leave it as is and set up, have him who knows what he's doing set it up going forward that it can be in plain text and just adopt that as our policy of the select board for posting stuff on the website, then that's personally what I would do. But
okay, do you want us to let Ellen speak first, because she.
My only comment would be that I think we ought to have at least two people who are capable of posting things, because when one's on vacation,
right.
If
right.
They're gone, everything's gone.
Right.
So I think from the comments Becky has made to me, she does other posting for the Planning Commission, other groups in town that need stuff done, and she had been under the understanding that Cynthia was responsible for the posting for the Select Board, And I think she would be delighted with that arrangement, and I think it would be wise to just limit it at access for those two people, and that's it.
But she posts all of those things that she posts. She does not use HTML either, no, right?
Right.
No, we are the only ones using it.
All right, so why don't we tell, why don't we ask Bob? Because Bob was consulted. We're still trying to figure out, I'm still trying to figure out where all those documents that came up missing went and how they got missing. But do we want Bob to educate Cindy to get it on the general website? Or probably Becky can even do that. And we will just restrict, we can restrict access to just the select board assistant and Becky to the websites. And if we take a vote to that effect, I will tell Bob to do that. We've got too many fish in the pond here, and I don't know how to straighten it out. And I need we need some board. I need some authority from the board. I will do whatever you say, but as an individual doing these agendas and getting all this paperwork, if I'm going to go to the effort of getting it all together so you all see it ahead of time, I damn well want to see it there. I don't want to see somebody decide that it isn't important and chuck it. That's not really fair. It's not fair to you guys. You don't have anything in front of you to make a decision out of. It makes me look like an idiot because it says, well, she didn't even get the paperwork together. She probably doesn't even know where it is, so she couldn't give it to us in advance. And it's also not transparent for those people that come to the meeting. So I need a motion here.
So moved. Make a motion that we restrict access to. Is Becky the only one in the town office that has access? That we restrict access to Becky and Cynthia.
Okay.
And have it done with text versus code.
And that, yes.
And get Bob Merrill to do it in text versus code.
Yes.
And do we have a second?
Second.
Just one question. Is Ellen, do you think Becky's willing to do that? I mean, that's add another thing to her.
That's something she's doing already. Yeah. I think that
she's doing everything except for the select board stuff.
Yeah. Okay, so she's the backup, essentially. So that would.
Yeah, so right. If Cynthia can't do it, we just need to get a hold of Becky in a timely manner. And if this doesn't work out moving forward, we can.
We'll go to plan B.
Okay.
Somebody else.
Just one.
If
just
need be.
Well, what we're doing now isn't working very well either, so.
Then we're going to have to get Cynthia up on. Don't remove me, I guess, until Cynthia knows how to post the recordings. And then you can restrict my access. But right now, I've been posting the recordings, and Cynthia doesn't know how to do that. So,
can you explain to her how to do that?
Yes.
Okay. We won't restrict your access until you get her proficient. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Oh, none opposed. Okay. I also have here, which I did not add in, is. I have this Sunapee paving contract, and
Springfield.
No, it's Sunapee actually.
Oh,
it's changed.
Right.
And
that's why Jimmy said Sunapee. I remember something. About
the gentleman.
They're owned by Sunapee or something.
The Jeremy gentleman has come and looked at the road and everything, and he's gone over the various places with Jimmy. However, when it came to sign this proposal. It lists all of the pricing here in the verbiage, but when it comes time, we propose to hereby furnish material, labor, and whatever for the sum of $0. And so when I came up to sign it, because Becky said, Ellen said it needed to be signed and returned, I thought that they ought to have, we ought to have something here that says the whole thing will cost. They'll do the job for no more than the cost. This wasn't, it was my understanding that this was not an estimate. This was a bid.
It was supposed to be a bid, yeah.
So would you please look at this document and then the three of you and figure out how we can make this estimate turn into an amount not to exceed? Because that's what I thought we were voting on the other night. And I admit, I did not read that particular document, but that has estimated price. Do you follow what I'm asking?
Yes. In other words, it doesn't have a bottom line, it's just a unit.
It's just an estimate, and I thought we were voting on a bid. So I hesitated to sign that. I talked with him and said, you know, we really need a price here. He said he sent that document. He sent an insurance document, but I never received another document. So if we can just write in there somewhere, price not to exceed X number of dollars and sign it, then I think he'll do the job and we'll be okay. I didn't feel comfortable signing that alone that way.
Yeah, I mean, the only issue with that would be is that he's already signed it electronically, and if we write on it, then there's the potential for him to say that we...
Well, technically, he's going to do the whole job for zero. So it's not in his advantage. So I'll sign it that way if you all agree. It's fine with me.
I would just add that in, and we'll sign it and scan it and send it back to him. So he has our version. If that's the shortest way. Otherwise, you're waiting for a final price.
Yes, but that was a week and a half ago when I should have signed that, and it hasn't come. I don't want to hold him up. He's planning on doing the job. That's not the problem.
Well, just write it in and sign it. Send it back and just make sure he's aware of what we've done.
Okay.
That he's okay with that.
Okay. So just write in not to exceed.
Yes.
The amount not to exceed. Okay. I can do that.
Yep. Do you want to see it?
No, I understand what
everybody
happened.
Just you.
No, I guess just me. Okay. anything else? We have meeting wrap-up, select board correspondent, resume assignments, and agenda items for next meeting. Oh, when would you like to schedule a special meeting to deal with the HR people? Or listen to their proposals. And as far as I'm concerned, never is an okay response because I'm haying right now. But other than that,
I'll come if I'm not in the middle of haying.
Me as well.
What are we all doing here tonight then?
We got our work done. We're very efficient farmers.
You're gonna come help me wrap when we get done.
You got a hay to wrap?
Yeah, it's on my trailer out right out front. It's all ready to go.
How many?
It's only 17.
Half hour, 40 minutes. You'll be all right.
Are you wrapping it in my house?
Mm-hmm. In the morning.
Oh, okay. I got the big tractor back.
You do?
Yeah.
So we meet again on the 17th, right?
It wouldn't be so bad if we started at 6 and we could do the three of them and start the regular part of the meeting at 7:30.
20 minutes each?
He said he wanted half an hour.
20 to 30 minutes each.
Give him 20.
We can give him 20 and start at 6.
Yep. Sounds good.
Okay, so will you email Scott and tell him for the next regular meeting we'll start at 6 and they get 20 minutes?
And that's going to be called in... Special meeting, executive meeting?
It is not an executive session. It's just, it will have to be noticed as a special meeting because we're starting early.
Okay.
So that we can get on with business at 7.
Okay. Happy to do that.
Okay. Any correspondence?
I'll do a thing. You know what it is. Oh, did it even get put? It didn't get put on, did it? No.
It was L.
I do.
I think I said that. Do it next time. But I need a visual. So,
Ben, I reached out to BLTC regarding the payment in lieu of taxes, and Ben and I got a response from them, and they had three samples of things that we might be able to do something similar. And Ben has talked to a few people. I think he's on vacation this week, but we're going to schedule something with Artistry as soon as he comes back from vacation.
Who's Ben?
Ben Brickner. And I think what Ben is hoping for is we can get some kind of endowment situation where it will give us the amount of taxes that we need so that it will be a perpetual thing and we won't have to go back year after year after year to negotiate this thing and get it done with once and get over with the legal situation and I assume you have nothing to report with Artistry.
I think I can talk about this in broad terms, so I won't give anything away. We have received a proposal from Artistry's representatives, which we've met subsequent to that and discussed it, and then our attorney has revised, you know, or I guess put in another proposal as a revision of what they want. Initially, Scott and I talked about we were going to wait till we got this next round of proposals, or yeah, I guess a proposed settlement. And we agreed on that. But now that I think about it, I'm thinking that perhaps it would be good for the board to get up to speed on where we're at, rather than. And so I guess what I'd like to do in a broad way is give you the proposal that Purple Crayon has, because we're moving in kind of to the what's either going to be the end or not. And then what our attorney, I just got to find out a proper way to distribute that to you guys, and if you're willing to take a look at them, because there are some concerns, and I think we need. You know, Scott and I aren't, at least I personally don't think we're prepared or ready to sign on to anything, not that we were going to anyway, but I think it's maybe time to get you guys up to speed on what's been battered back and forth. And we've got, like I said, boiled down to a 3 or 4 page document and then our proposed back. So you can kind of take a look at it. So it's just a matter of me figuring out a way to get those documents to use in a secure way, so you can take a look at them and get some feedback. Because I'm a little uncomfortable on some of the stuff. I'm certainly not. I think it's time to get a little feedback. So I'm not sure what the format is. Obviously, I want to get them to you. I'll talk to Scott, but I think he'll agree that, you know, it's sort of dragging on. I actually have a feeling that we may end up going to mediation just because it's sort of dragging along. And I think there's some real sticking points that I can't discuss. But anyway, my feeling is I want to get you up to speed. I'll talk to Scott just to make sure, but I think he'll go along with that. And it'd be good for you guys to sort of see now, you know, as we're moving into, I'd say, the final quarter of this negotiation, what's been going on, so you can kind of weigh in too. So that's I guess that's all I can really say in sort of a broad way. I just got to figure out a way of getting that stuff to you, whether I could probably just print them out and give you copies before you leave tonight.
That's okay if that's what you want to do.
Well, I'm not sure emailing them, you know, because somebody could then put in a. I guess somebody could put in a public records request and then they'd be exposed.
I think if you put, I may be wrong, put confidential in the subject line, I don't think you're, for something like this, because it's with litigation, I don't think you're required to turn that over, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the rules are.
I think probably in hindsight, given all the legal battles of the legal bills, we should have just gone to environmental court. We're just racking up the dollars. I think I'm not sure what we should have just taken our chances.
Alan, do you know what we've spent to date on artistry? Ballpark?
Well, Alan asked me to divvy up the bills. I think it's
I've got that right here.
$12,000 on the select board side and $700 or $800 on the lister side, I think is what the tally was.
So that's that, but that's like our land transfer stuff was in there and anything else that we.
Well, the bills break it down so that there's one total given for the discussions that the listers have been having, and I think, and everything else is lumped together.
Okay.
So I'm assuming all of that other is part of the same discussion.
Yeah. I'll find out what the proper way is to distribute it, and maybe John is right, and then I'll just get it to you. But and that way I can talk to Scott, because he's actually been doing a good job representing the town in this anyway.
I think they locate them like on the, for the plow, they put them up on the frame. And then for the wing, they go back on that tower behind the cab is where I
see. Just be an electronic switch, kind of like on the back of the tractor for the 3-point hitch, probably. Somewhere.
They do, or some of them are on a cable that runs back in and runs on the.
Yeah, I suppose it depends on whether you have cable controls or electronic.
Yeah.
I have no other select board correspondence. Review of assignments. I'll get hold of somebody for the town garage and also plumber. And I'll work on the RFPs for the state. Is I supposed to do anything else?
I'll let you know.
Yeah. We should get a not necessarily an RSP, but like Frank did with the different aggregates.
I'll look in the file.
Price.
You see, should be able to just
take that
thing
more and fill it out.
It must be in SharePoint somewhere, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I didn't look for that one, I'll be honest.
But you didn't see me volunteering, so I'm saying it's something we should do. I'm not saying it's something you need to do yourself.
So we have a review of assignments. And agenda items for next meeting, other than the staff communication.
Slack.
Slack.
Yeah.
Well, if it's Slack, I don't know how it could work for us, because we're already Slack. Anyway, carry on. Anything else on the agenda for next time? We'll put your RFP to finalize that and get that out for the truck.
I'll get that done sometime between now and the end of the weekend. And get
any
that
other,
back out to everybody.
We don't ask for public comment, but is there anything you'd like to share?
Good night, Erin.
Yes, Erin.
I just want to chirp in that we've had a lot of water coming out of the water system in that cupboard. I have Sean Leslie coming up next week to take a look at that, because that's always been kind of a problematic system. When they do the furnace maintenance, we end up with water problems. And it seems that the two systems are so closely connected that they affect each other whenever anything happens. So after the water problem we had last week, we end up with leaks or too much discharge coming out of some of those pipes now. So if you're going to get in touch with a plumber, maybe we should tie Osley into it, or maybe you'd be contacting him anyway. But if it's silt that's coming in, there's no silt filter in that system. But Norm seemed to think that it's a siltation problem that we're dealing with right now. So there's work that could be done to improve the way that whole thing works there as well. Might as well do it all at the same time.
Before you get somebody in, and before I call anybody, let's sit down on Monday morning or make a list at some point. You're going to be gone here on Friday, right?
But we won't be here.
So, and come Monday, I'll touch base with you, and we'll figure out all the problems that you're having. And then we'll get plumbers in to look at the whole gamut. Wouldn't that seem to be the logical thing to do? And so we'll get whoever it is, and we should get more than one person to come in anyway. And we'll list out the problems that we have, and then maybe all of the things would get taken care of at once. And maybe the pump does need to be pulled up in the well. Maybe that would take care of the soap. I don't have any idea how deep that well is.
Well, no, we're
having the same issue. Call
Ann, they'll know. Water. Adams has been sucking some sand himself.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. But we've had so much water that it's just seeping in. And yeah, Keith just put a filter on our house the other day. Because it's...
I need an adjournment.
Make a motion, we adjourn. Second.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. None opposed. You're done. You didn't play on the tag.